Today is April 30th, 2016, at Radha Gopinath Temple in Trinidad and Tobago. And we are going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, the Island of Jambudvip, Text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yatat Vishuddhanu Bhavam Atramekam. Swate Jisadvasta Gunavavastam. Prajak Prashantam Sudhiya Palambanam. Ya Marupam Niraham Prapadye. Please chant.
Yatad Vishuddhan Rupa Matramekam. Pratyakshantam Shuriyo Palambanam. Yanam Rupam Niraham Papadye.
Swati jasadvashta guna vyavastha. Pratyak prashanta suriyo parambana. Yana varupa niraha prapadye.
Yet,
which,
tut, to that supreme truth, Vishuddha, transcendentally pure, without contamination by material nature, Anubhava, experience, Matram, that, Satchidananda, transcendental body, Ekam, the one, Swate Jasa, by his own spiritual potency, Dvasta, vanquished, Guna Vavastam, the influence of the modes of material nature, Pratyak, transcendental, not to be seen with material eyes, Prashantam, undisturbed by material agitation. Sudhiya, by Krishna consciousness or purified consciousness, uncontaminated. Oh my goodness. By Krishna consciousness or purified consciousness, uncontaminated by material desires, fruitive activities, and speculative philosophy.
Uncontaminated.
Kali Yuga brings. Imagine people could hear a whole book in former times. Remember the whole book, right? We can't remember two lines. Upalambanam. Who can be achieved?
He.
Indeed. Anama Rupam.
Without a material name and form.
Niraham. Without a material ego. Prapadye. Let me offer my respectful obeisances. Okay, it's a long verse and it's a long purport. Translation. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Okay, can someone tell me something about the description of the Lord, someone who doesn't have the verse in front of them? Something about the description of the Lord is given in this long verse. Should we read it again?
Yes.
Okay. See if you can remember something. One thing. Anything you can remember about the verse. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda, this is the most important part of the whole classroom. What I have to say is not very important. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be fully fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. So something from the verse. We'll start with you, Bala Krishna Prabhu.
The Lord cannot be seen by contaminated consciousness.
Excellent. And Indira, something from you.
The Lord is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge.
Excellent. Panchatattva, from you.
He is beyond the modes of material nature.
Okay. Shantivigraha.
Anama Rupa, he has no material name.
No material name and form. Somebody else, volunteer.
Satchidananda Vigraha.
Satchidananda Vigraha, yes. Somebody, one of the ladies, please, a volunteer. If you want to complain about Prabhupada calling you less intelligent and you don't say anything, then what are we supposed to say? Okay, one of the men. Yes?
We take shelter of Lord Ramachandra, who is of that description.
Excellent. Come on, one of the ladies, something you remember from the verse, anything.
The consciousness has to be uncontaminated and Krishna conscious to be able to understand the transcendental nature of the world.
Excellent. One of the gentlemen, please. Somebody else. Someone who hasn't said something. No? Okay, we have two dilemmas in this verse, which Srila Prabhupada is going to answer in his purport. Can anybody think of what are the problems, what are the questions that this verse is going to bring up, that we would need to have answered? We're going to find out what Srila Prabhupada answers.
I think that he is transcendental to a human being, and because he takes that human being body, I'm just doing a speculation, and then now he'll say that it's troublesome, a lot of tribulation, taken to Maya's land. But he, as well as Alexander, Sita, Rama, he comes over. Rama tried to adopt Sita, but he's wrong.
Well, that you're jumping to tomorrow's verse.
So much more.
Just today's verse.
You pulled me there.
Just stick to today's verse. Yes, Prabhu.
Two things that jump out at me is Anama Rupam, because that could be perceived as having no name and no form.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. That is the first problem we find. Anama Rupam and Niraham. He has no I-ness, no sense of I. So our first problem is, wait a minute, he's Ramchandra, the lotus feet of Ramchandra, and yet he doesn't have a name, he doesn't have a form, and he doesn't have an I-ness. So this is the first problem. Next problem, which is sort of answered in the verse itself, but it's a seeming contradiction here.
Is it that one cannot approach the Lord through material consciousness?
Yes. Yes. That one can approach the Lord and not approach the Lord. That he's not perceivable, and yet he's perceivable. By the way, we don't mind children, as long as they don't scream. So, happy children noises are fine. I'm figuring in a few years I'll be one of the children again, so. Please, I hope you'll treat me nicely. Alright, let's see how Srila Prabhupada answers these questions. Okay, it is a long purport. It's going to require some focus. And we had a long day yesterday, also I'm amazed that any of you came this morning. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in various expansions, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tistan Nana Bhattara Makaro Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Padama Pumanyo Govinda Manipurusham Tam Mam Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations, such as Rama, Nisinga, and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramachandra is one. Now here Prabhupada's referring directly to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport on this verse. So he's talking here about this Anama Rupam indirectly in this first paragraph of the purport by talking about Krishna's incarnations, who have indeed names and forms. Yes? All right. We know that now he's going to answer a question, again, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur brings up in his purport, specifically about Ramachandra. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda and is equipped with different kinds of weapons in four hands. Therefore, we may doubt whether Lord Ramachandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman, not by Garuda, and had neither four hands nor the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. Although there's a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Ramachandra's brothers are said to be incarnations of these weapons. Consequently, this verse clarifies that Ramachandra is as good as Krishna, Ramadi Murti Shukala. Although Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra is not different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is Prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. The word Prashanta, of course, reminds us of what word? Shanta, Vigraha, Prabhu. Peaceful. And what is Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita? If you want to be happy, first you have to be
peaceful.
Right? Can you? By the way, we were talking the other day, can you be peaceful if you're fault-finding and criticizing, just by the way?
No.
So then Krishna says you won't be happy, and then you'll blame all the people you're fault-finding and criticizing for your lack of happiness. Isn't that interesting? Yes, that's just a little side note here. All right, now Prabhupada is going to deal with the point that you brought up. Unless one is saturated, what does saturated mean?
Exhausted.
Exhausted. Oh my Krishna. What does saturated mean?
Full.
If something's saturated with liquid, what is it doing? Dripping. Very good. It's more than. If you're saturated, you can't hold it. When the air gets saturated with moisture, what does it do?
Rain.
It rains. So if you're saturated, you can't contain it. Okay? So unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate... Saturated with what?
Love.
Love, thank you. One cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. What do we mean by material eyes? What does it mean, material? What does the word material mean?
Your consciousness
is mundane. Yes, what does that mean?
Contaminated
with what?
Illusion.
About what? Yeah, you're all just saying the same thing exactly in different words, but none of you are explaining it. Huh? Truth. You've lost truth. Yes, you're not seeing truth. That's another way of saying you're in illusion. What does that mean?
There's no self-realization.
You don't see yourself. Yes, excellent. You're getting a lot closer. What is your consciousness if you have material consciousness?
Not the enjoyer.
I'm the enjoyer. Yes, very good, Marsh. I'm the enjoyer. I am God. So why can't you see God with material eyes? Because you think you're a God. Does this make sense to everybody? Can we see the deity with our retina and eyeball? And can we see the deity?
No.
Of course you can. The problem is not the eyeball. That's not the problem. That's also Krishna's energy. The problem is not that we have an eyeball. The problem is that we have this Ishwar Aham Aham Bhogi Siddham. That's the problem. If I think I'm God, then when God comes in front of me, I can't see him. Does that make sense to everybody? Right? Even if I see him, do the demons see Krishna when he comes?
Yes.
Do they see him with their eyeballs?
Yes.
Yes. But what do they not see? They don't really see him, right? Krishna shows his universal form to Duryodhan, and Duryodhan just says, oh, he's a magician. You understand? They see him, but they don't see him. Like yesterday at the Ratiyatra, the minister was there. But I don't know who is the minister. You understand? I see her. She's just one of the people. You follow? I'm seeing her, but I'm not seeing her. That makes sense? Yes? And it was very interesting. She was sitting right next to me, and she gets up on the stage, and then she had a prepared thing to read. You know, she's thanking Guru Prasad Swami, and she thanks Urmila, and I'm thinking, she doesn't know that the person, the Urmila she's thanking, was the person she was talking to a minute before. She has no idea. She's just thanking, just on the papers. So the demons, they're seeing Krishna, but they're not seeing Krishna. Happy noises are just fine. Children are allowed to be happy. It's okay. So just like the washerman, Lord Chaitanya explains in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that the washerman in Mathura, that he had done austerities for millions of lives to see Krishna. And then finally Krishna comes, here I am. Give me some cloth, please. No? You ever wonder why Krishna was so angry at him? Can you imagine? You know? So what do we have to do to be able to see Krishna? We have to be what? Saturated with?
Love.
There we go. Because demons like Ravana have no spiritual vision. Now, this is really interesting. They consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana, therefore, attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort, Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratyak Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. Now Prabhupada's going to answer the point that you brought up. In the Upanishads, it is said, Yam evaisha rinute tena labhya. The Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the Personality of Godhead, can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service. As stated in Brahma Samhita, premanjana tarita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shaima sundarama chinchaguna swarupam govinda mariputasham tamam bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyama Sundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. Similarly, in the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Etas Tisro Devata Anena Jivena. In this verse of the Chandogya Upanishad, the word Anena is used to distinguish the Atma and Paramatma as two separate identities. So here Prabhupada is establishing that the Lord is transcendental. The words Tisro Devata indicate that the body of the living entity is made of three material elements, fire, earth, and water. Do we have fire in our bodies?
Yes.
Definitely, otherwise they wouldn't be able to take our temperature at the doctor's office. Although the Paramatma enters the heart of the Jivatma, who is influenced and designated by a material body, the Paramatma has nothing to do with the Jivatma's body. Because the Paramatma has no material connections, he is described here as Anama Rupam Niraham. The Paramatma has no material identity, whereas the Jivatma does. The Jivatma may introduce himself as an Indian, American, German, and so on, but the Paramatma has no such material designations, and therefore he has no material name. The Jivatma is different from his name, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. This is the meaning of niraham, which means without material designations. This word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankara, no I-ness or identity. He has his transcendental identity as a supreme. This is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami. According to another interpretation given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, niraham means nirishchayena aham. Niraham does not mean that the Supreme Lord has no identity. Rather, the stress given by the word aham proves strongly that he does have his personal identity, because nir not only means negative, but also means strong ascertainment. Yat tad vishud anubhavam matram ekam swatejasa dvasta guna vavastam pratyak prashantam sudiyo palambanam yanam arupam niraham prapadye. The Lord, whose pure form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature, and because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. So we have all come to this Krishna consciousness movement, I would assume, because we would like to see God. Is that correct? Is that one of the reasons that you're here? You'd like to see God? That would be nice. So how are we going to understand God? Because he's not material. We can see his handiwork, just like this table. It's a very simple table, and I think we could say it's even a rather crude table. However, we can tell by looking at this table that it was made by somebody with intelligence, correct? It wasn't made by a chimpanzee. It wasn't made by a one-year-old child, even though it's very simple and dare I say, even very crude. So we can see the handiwork of some intelligent person, but we don't see the person. Similarly, in the world, we see everywhere the handiwork of God. We see the indications there must be an intelligent God, a creative God, a God who loves variety, a God who loves order, a God who loves beauty, a God who's very efficient, and so forth. But we don't see that God. We look and we look, and we may look at the deity and we see, oh, there's something carved of marble or something of brass. We hear the name and we just hear sounds like any other sound. We don't perceive the Lord. And yet at the same time, we are told he has this transcendental form. And I think it's very interesting looking at the philosophical concept here, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, in that the Lord is called, that he has no name, no form, no aham. He has no aham. So why is Srila Prabhupada telling us that this means the Lord has a spiritual name, a spiritual form, and a spiritual I-ness? Why doesn't he just translate the very literal meaning? Well, the Lord has no name and no form and no sense of identity. Why doesn't he translate it like that? Because the Shastra has to be understood as a whole in context. This is a very important point. The Christians like to say, the devil can quote the Shastra. Prabhupada will say the same thing. The devil can quote the Shastra. You can take something out of context and use it to prove anything. So how do we know that these words here, right, anama, rupam, niraham, don't mean that the Lord has no name, no form, and no identity? How do we know that? Because in the next verse, the previous verse, he's speaking about Lord Ramachandra, who has indeed a name, a form, and a sense of identity. You follow? Everybody, so you have to put that all together. You have to read the Shastra holistically. You have to read the Shastra holistically. If you take statements from the Shastra out of context, you don't understand them. So if you just read about Lord Ramachandra, then you'll think, oh, the Supreme Lord is some ordinary human. Fallible like me, material like me. And if you just read this verse out of context, you think, oh, God has no name and no form and no identity. You have to put those two things together and see, oh, he has a name and a form and identity, but he has no material name, no material form, no material identity. It's extremely important to understand things holistically and in context. Otherwise, we can each take a verse from the Shastra and want to prove whatever point we want out of it. If we start off with an agenda that we want to prove, you can find support for anything. Even Maharaj Prithu, when he's chasing the earth, he says, you're not giving grains, I'm going to cut you up and feed you to the citizens. Yes? You could support cow killing from that. So you could support anything if you find, like we were saying the other day, I met a man who said, my favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita is when Krishna says, you do whatever you like. Hare Krishna. So we shouldn't think that Srila Prabhupada is giving this purport because, he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava, this is his sectarian perspective. No, he's taking the Shastra holistically. Why is Sukadeva Goswami having all these descriptions of the avatars in this section about Jambudvip, the residents, they're offering prayers to the different incarnations? And we have the Leela of these incarnations. Why is he describing the incarnations of the Lord if the Lord has no name and form at all? Yes? So he's not presenting a particular sectarian view. He's presenting a very holistic view. All right, so this is our situation. We want to see God, and we're having a problem to see him. We want to interact with him. We want to speak with him. But we're having a difficulty doing that. And we're confused because we see, okay, he has a form, he has a name, he has an identity, he has qualities, and yet I can't seem to approach him. This is our difficulty. So what's going on here? So we're told here we have to see in a different way. We have to see with love. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina. And it's very much like Om Agyana Tamirandasyaganandana Shalakaya. It's very much like this. It anoint the eye. We take the eye and put love on it. And my dear friends, we cannot even see another jiva properly without love. Do you know that? If we start out in our heart thinking that this other jiva is there for my enjoyment, or this other jiva is my enemy, we don't see them properly. We don't see who they are. Just like meat eaters. So meat eaters know they're eating animals, isn't that correct? They know. I mean, maybe not a little child, but if you ask an adult meat eater, what are you eating? They'll tell you, I'm eating a pig, I'm eating a cow, I'm eating a chicken. They know that. It's not that they don't know that, but because they have no affection, they see the animal as simply an object of enjoyment. They don't see it. They don't see it. The animal will even come. Radhana Swami, in his book Journey Home, he talks about how he went to India for the first time and some cow and calf came up to him and they were, you know, nuzzling him affectionately. And he said, from that day on, he decided, I will not eat meat. But just think, the meat eaters, do they have their pet dogs? Yes? And they would not think to eat a dog because they have some love for the dog. But they don't, because they have no love for the cow, they don't see the cow. Or in the fourth canto, it's described that woman hunting is like meat eating. You know, what is the problem that women in the world are exploited and mistreated? Because when the man sees the woman, or the woman sees the man also, they don't see with affection. They think, I love her. They don't love her, they lust her. They see her as an object. They see her as, though this is a body that I can enjoy. Therefore, it's very interesting in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, when all of the cowherd boys and calves, who weren't really cowherd boys and calves, appeared as Lord Vishnu, and each Vishnu was surrounded by living entities. It is said that the Lord looked on them with passion. But is it explained that the Lord's passion is affection? And the root of passion is affection. If we have a problem with passion and with lust in any form, in any of its thousands of forms, if we replace it with affection, the passion will go. And then we will see people as they are. When we see people as they are, it is impossible to exploit them. You cannot. Therefore, the Ishapanishad says, someone who sees everything as part and parcel of the Lord never hates anyone or any being, anything or any being. If we even see matter, if we see matter with affection, this is Krishna's. This is the property of he whom I love. Then you cannot exploit it. If you see the earth as the wife of the Lord, you cannot exploit the earth. This minister was telling me, we want to improve the quality of life for all Trinidad and Tobago by, you know, restoring the family. I didn't say anything to her. I mean, then she said, by the grace of God, so that was nice. It wasn't my place to say anything to her. But I thought, unless you actually love God, you cannot do this. So we cannot see anyone without love. The first time I met Srila Prabhupada, he was talking in his class about how we want to see God, but we cannot even see the little piece of God. He said, like your father dies and you think, you know, my father's gone, but the body is there. He said, so you've never seen your father. He said, if we can't see a little piece of God, how are we going to see all of God? So this is affection. And just like the other Maharaj, what is his name from Nigeria? Bhakti Vasudev. I knew there was a Vasudev in there. Bhakti Vasudev Maharaj, he was talking about how if we really want to please the Lord, we have to love his children. So, my dear friends, if we want to see Krishna, if we genuinely want to see Krishna, it's not just a matter of being very strict about following the rules. Certainly, we should be very strict about following the rules. We should rise early, attend Mangal Arti. That's not very popular in this temple. We should chant 16 rounds with attention. I've also heard that that's also not very popular. I don't know. I've heard. Offer our food to Krishna. Eat only food cooked by devotees. That's becoming less popular all over the movement. Hare Krishna. So we should follow the rules, undoubtedly. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Not that I chant Hare Krishna and then I smoke marijuana in the afternoon. We should follow the rules, undoubtedly, but that's not enough. That's not enough. If we're a dried out towel, we need to be dripping with emotion. need to be dripping with emotion for the Lord, and that loving Krishna, if we love Krishna, we will love everyone that Krishna loves. Which means we will love certainly all the devotees, what to speak of all living entities, and we will even love his material energy, seeing it as non-different from, then we will see him. Can someone see you really if they think you're an object of their enjoyment? Can they? Can they get to know you? Can they see you if they're only looking for faults? Is that possible? Right? We get frustrated like that. Somebody just criticizes us and we think, why don't you get to know me? Yes? There has to be affection. Our heart has to be melting, my dear friends. That is the point. That is the point of our 16 rounds, our three Gayatris, our rising early, our offering our food, our dressing the deity, our distributing books, our cleaning the temple, everything. That is the point. If our heart isn't melting, one can go on. Right? Every morning you're reciting Bahu Janma. One can go on, life after life after life after life. Just if you can explain with Gyan, oh, the Lord is Ramchandra, but he has no material name. Yes, I can explain very nicely this philosophy. That's not enough. And there's a variety of forms. Prabhupada's quoting, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtanna Navatara Makaro Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Padmalapumani. Ananta Rupam, he has unlimited forms. And each one of them is lovable. Of course, we are advised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fall in love with Shyama Sundar. That is his advice. Says, you please fall in love with Shyama Sundar. But somebody might prefer Ramachandra. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had devotees who preferred Ramachandra, and he couldn't dissuade them from that preference. But even as Shyama Sundar, some may love the Lord as Kishore, or as in his Puganda, or as Bala, age. Mother Yasoda, she always sees Krishna as Bala Krishna. Always. Even she sees him at Kurukshetra, and she sees, oh, there's my little boy. She has unlimited forms. And Lord Kapila Dev says that the Lord takes the form with which we want to worship him. Amazing. You know, we try to do that in our material relationships. The wife tries to change the husband into the kind of man that she wants, right? Especially the women try to do that to the men. It doesn't work, does it, ladies? No. But with Krishna, however you want to see him, he becomes like that for you. Just imagine. Unlimited forms. How can we not love such a God? Unlimited forms with unlimited varieties of pastimes. Whatever you like. If you like chivalry, there's Krishna killing the demons. Krishna fighting with Bhishma and shooting him with arrows. So intent on the fighting that he drops his upper cloth without realizing it and gets covered with dust. Krishna has a quality of being a very fine dresser, but when he's running to Bhishma, he forgets his upper cloth. If you like chivalry, Krishna's there. If you like romance, who's more romantic than Krishna? 16,100 queens that were all kidnapped. I mean, you know, the average man in this world, he wants to rescue at least one woman, right? But rescuing 16,100 women, who is more romantic than that? That the female fantasy is that, you know, the man's going to come along on his white horse and pick you up and carry you off. And he does this. He comes in his chariot, and there's Rukmini about to be married to Shishupal. And she's coming out of the temple. He's kind of looking. Is he here? Is he here? The Brahmin said he's here. Is he? And all these other men lusting after her. How disgusting that must be. And then he just picks her up, puts her on the chariot. Carries her off. What a romantic. Dances in the moonlight. You want someone full of affection. How affectionate Krishna is to all the trees. the bumblebees, the ground, everything he treats with affection. If you want something, you know, full of care and compassion, and you have little baby Krishna rubbing his eyes, he's scared of his mother's stick, although he's there in his universal form eating everybody. And yet he's scared of his mother's stick. How can you not love him? And in all of his wonderful forms, coming like a big lion to kill the child abuser, Hiranyakashipu, he was the Adi child abuser. Unfortunately, we didn't have the CPO active at that time. But Nrisimhadev came as the supreme CPO director. If you like ghastliness, Prabhupada says, you worship Nrisimhadev, doing abdominal surgery and covered with this bloody intestine and blood everywhere. If you love horror, you love Nrisimhadev. If you love wonder, you can love Varaha. It's huge boar. The personification of the Vedic hymns and Vedic sacrifice, diving in the earth, and so much love for the earth. Or if you love wonder and surprises, there's Vamandev. There's this little boy. And then the whole universe. If you like justice and fairness and morality, you can love Ramachandra, the personification of the Dhirodhata feature of the Lord, the righteous, noble king who is so wedded to fairness and justice and ethics that if there's even someone criticizing his wife who's pregnant, he will send her away. Who is so wedded to justice and ethics and morality that when his father makes a promise to his queen, he will uphold that promise no matter what inconvenience or difficulty it puts him in. So many incarnations, so many different forms of the Lord. How can we not fall in love? Why instead are we falling in love with our body? Made of all disgusting things. Looking in the mirror and loving our bodies. Loving our minds, loving our intellect, loving our knowledge. Loving the bodies of others, loving our position and status in this world that we are in this life for 8 billionths of a second of Lord Brahma. Loving our money. Why not love Krishna? And if we don't approach Krishna with love, if we approach Krishna with force, so interesting. It doesn't work. My dear friends, Ravana was very skilled in the Vedas. He knew the Vedas. He probably knew the Vedas better than any of us. Probably. Maybe some of you are big scholars, more than Ravana. I don't know. And he was much more expert in austerity than any of us. Probably. Maybe some of you are more austere than Ravana. But he could do great austerities. Who can do the austerities of Hiranyakashipu? Anybody? We may be very proud, you know. Oh yes, I slept on the floor in a room with 20 other brahmacharis and we only had one dhoti each. While we were washing it, we had to just wear a gumsho, we had nothing. And we lived in the vans. But are we as austere as Hiranyakashipu and Ravana? And yet, when Ravana went to touch Mother Sita, who did he get?
Material form.
He got material form. And what did she do to him and his kingdom? Finished. That is not how we will see God. We cannot use force. We have no qualification. I'm sorry. We don't. We cannot say. Therefore, Rupa Goswami said, I have no qualification. I have not done any sadhana. I have not done anything that can qualify me. Somebody was saying to me the other day, listing all of their austerities in the Hare Krishna movement, all of their services in the Hare Krishna movement. My dear friends, that doesn't make it. Krishna is not impressed. He's impressed if we have love and affection. That's the point of all of our austerities. That's the point of following the rules. That's what we're doing it for. This is not a job we're applying for with a resume. We are now looking for people to go to Goloka Vrindavan, very good salary. Please submit your resume. I've been a very loyal member of ISKCON. Always chanting my rounds, always chanting my gayatris, did a lot of service. Here's my resume. Do you have love? Do you have love? Like that brahmana who drank only milk? Right? Doesn't work. If we still have the material eyes, which doesn't mean this thing, if we want to hold on to this material consciousness, that it's all about me, we were talking about this a lot with Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha. Does anyone remember verse 7, the very last contamination will we get freed of? It's a what? Anybody remember? The very last one. Oh, very nice. Tarni's gone to many of my Manashiksha centers. When we finish this world tour, she's going to be a scholar on Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha. Be the foremost authority in the world. Yes, the last thing in the heart is a dead dog. The dead dog, it represents what? Anybody remember?
Fame.
And who wants to eat this dead dog? The desire for fame, pratisashva, that is this disloyal woman, and her boyfriend is deceit. And as long as she's dancing in the heart, this sadhu prema, the chaste lady of love, cannot enter into the heart. So this is how, this is the point of everything. This is why we wear tilak, why we say Hari Bol Prabhu. Or some of you say Pam Ho Agusp. That's why we do this. So we can become saturated with love. And when we become saturated with love, then we will see actually Radha Gopinath. Then we will see Gornitai. Then we'll see Garuda. Then we'll see each other. Then, as we talked about the other night on the Vaishnava relationships, where Prabhupada said the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to have these loving exchanges. Then we will really have, it was so nice, as you just hear Prabhu said the other. Then we will really have the International Society for Krishna what? Consciousness. And then we will understand how God has a name and a form and an I-ness, and yet no name and no form and no I-ness. We will understand because we will realize it. We will see it. We will experience it. It will not be just a philosophical or intellectual concept that we have to try to get our head around. What does this mean? We'll live it. So how do we do this? At least a little baby step. Prabhupada compares becoming Krishna conscious to learning how to walk. So when the child learns how to walk, do they just get up and run? No. First time they stand up for what? Just a few seconds, right? And then they fall. But they get so excited that they've stood up, they get really excited. And the parents get really excited and they call all the relatives. They do, really. She stood up for 2 seconds. So we should be like this with ourselves and with each other. And even once the child learns to walk, I was visiting my youngest son, so he has a daughter, 1.5, and she walks very strangely. You know, he's just learning how to walk, and so she walks like with her whole hip. And when she's walking, she's like this with her arms the whole time. She has to put like 70% of her energy just into staying upright. And many of us may feel like that with our Krishna consciousness. Maybe for some of us, we're just standing for 2 seconds and then most of the time we're sitting on our backside on the floor. Maybe for some of us, we're already walking in love, but it's very shaky. But we should see ourselves and others. We should celebrate the good in others. The parents do not call the grandparents and say, "My son is just sitting on the floor most of the time. He only stood up for 2 seconds." They don't do that. They say, "Oh, he stood for 2 seconds." This is what we must see in each other. If someone has some affection for Krishna for 2 seconds, their whole life is glorious, even if the rest of the time they're on the floor. If someone is really trying to walk in love, even if it's awkward, we celebrate their walking in love, not their awkwardness. If we celebrate that in ourselves and in others, our Krishna consciousness will be very swift. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his commentary in Manushiksha for the word pratijan, life after life, he said, generally this takes many lives, but with mercy it's very fast. So what is that mercy? That mercy is a response to whatever little affection we can grow in our heart. So thank you very much. If anyone has any, it is already 8:28. And again, I thank you all for coming on the day after, morning after Rath Yatra. I'm sure many of you are very tired, and after the morning program, you'll go home and go to sleep. Anyone, any questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements? I figure I'm going to get some anyway. Might as well ask for them up front. Maharaj, would you like to add something, please? Are you sure? This really wasn't fair. You're asking me to speak because we're leaving today. We don't get to hear you, so this is... You owe me that I get to hear one of your classes in the future.
The light for everyone.
All right, Krishna. Yes.
When Krishna went to Mathura,
yes.
And he got his clothes for Shaman, he didn't get any clothes.
No, he didn't get any clothes.
When he went further and he got washed clothes, he blessed the person. He said, "You'll enjoy this material world and you'll go back to this place."
We all want that benediction, isn't it? Like, why can't I be that person? Yes, so what is your question? Or just an observation?
Yeah, that is what I learned.
That is what you learned. You know, sometimes Krishna gives that blessing. He gave that to Dhruva. He gave that blessing to the Prachetas. So sometimes Krishna gives the devotee the blessings. You will have everything you want in the material world, a strong, healthy body, everything you want for your enjoyment, and you'll also attain pure Krishna consciousness. So sometimes he does that. For most of us, he sees that if he gave us that benediction, we wouldn't be able to do that. For most of us, just like Sudama, when he left Krishna's home and he was thinking Krishna had given him nothing, and he said, the good father doesn't put much wealth into the hands of an immature son. But when the son has grown up and knows how to handle money wisely, he gives him the whole treasury house. So the unfortunate reality for most of us, at least for myself, is that if Krishna gives us too much material opulences, we forget from whom we've gotten them and we forget what they're to be used for. It even happened to Sugriva, yes? Talking about Lord Ramachandra. When Sugriva regained his kingdom and his wife, he forgot. He forgot. He had to be reminded by Lakshman, and it was almost unpleasant. It was somebody over here first. Yes, Prabhu.
I was just thinking about your description of seeing God's handiwork, like you see the table,
yes,
the carpenter. So I was just thinking, by the same logic, if you can see God's beautiful creation, but the atheist used that same logic that he is messed up, you know, he has made all these imperfections. Just see me, you know, and so many problematic things. So they use the same logic. So how do you reconcile that?
Okay. So there are stores where you can buy very expensive things. Do you have stores like that here? What's the name of some stores where the very wealthy people shop? You don't even know the names. So detached.
Dolce?
So I know there's like Saks Fifth Avenue, Lord & Taylor in New York. I'm originally from New York. And then there's Walmart. When I got married, one of the first things my husband said is, okay, we're going to shop for some clothes at Walmart. And I said, Prabhu, I don't buy clothes at Walmart. He says, where do you buy clothes? I says, at Saks Fifth Avenue. And he says, not anymore. It was one of the things I had, when my parents would visit, I never told them I was using stuff from secondhand stores. You know, I would go to the secondhand stores by the wealthy areas, and so I'd buy like used cashmere sweaters. They were like $200 sweaters. I'd get them used for $5. But I would, I tell my mother, oh, it's a cashmere sweater, but I wouldn't tell her I got it at a thrift store. My mother would have been appalled. So whether you buy something at Walmart or you buy something at Saks Fifth Avenue, still somebody created it, yes? The fact that something is made at Walmart and something is made at Saks Fifth Avenue doesn't mean the things at Walmart had no creator and only the things at Saks Fifth Avenue had a creator. If you want to know why your body is imperfect, why don't you ask why you didn't have enough money to shop at Saks Fifth Avenue? That's the question. If I got a Walmart body instead of a Saks Fifth Avenue body, that means I didn't have enough money in my bank account. That's not the creator's fault. Right? My daughter wanted a shopping bag with wheels. Or rather, I wanted to buy her a shopping bag with wheels because she was carrying these heavy loads from the farmer's market. We'd go every week. I said, look on Amazon, find one you like. So she picked the cheapest one. Her father's daughter. So she picked the cheapest one. We used to do the shopping for the temple, my husband and I. My husband would drive an extra 20 minutes just to save one penny per cup. So I got her the bag, and of course, as soon as she used it two times, it broke. So there's different planets, there's different bodies. This is the lowest of the middle planets. This is the very lowest. We've just crossed the railroad tracks into the middle class here. You know? This is the very bottom of the middle class of the universe. And we have taken birth here in the winter, in the cosmic winter. We've come at the worst time, materially speaking. We don't have a very high grade of body, and we're not in a very high grade of planet. When we were driving back from the festival, the people in the car said, oh, we're driving through the ghetto. And I said to my granddaughter, I said, you know, even in American cities, there are bad parts of town. That doesn't mean there's no government. So we want to blame God for the fact that we have a defective body that breaks after we use it twice. But we bought the cheap model. And we're in a low grade of world. If God is really fair and really just, then he's going to give everyone what they deserve and desire. And I'm afraid that those of us who have earth bodies in the Kali Yuga, we didn't deserve and desire something very high. Or some of us might have come here for another reason. Some of us might have willingly taken an earth body in the Kali Yuga because Lord Chaitanya's come here. So sometimes people intentionally go into a place that's not so materially nice for a higher purpose. And Prabhupada gives the example. I said this the other day. This is Prabhupada's example. Please don't blame me. This is Prabhupada's example. He says, just like people from the West will go to India, even though India materially is not so nice, because it has spiritual benefit. So right now, on this earth planet, in this Kali Yuga, there is a great benefit, for which I hope we feel it is worth it having this very defective body. We have a very defective body, a very defective mind. It's a very low-grade body, a very low-grade mind. It's not high class. It isn't. However, if we take this opportunity, we can get Mahaprabhu, because he's Patitapavana. He's helping the most fallen. And he appears on this planet. Krishna appears on this planet. So we have a great spiritual benediction, and it says in the Bhagavatam, even the demigods want to take birth on the earth planet. They know they're going to get a Walmart body. made in China body. That doesn't mean there's no creator. To say, if there's a creator, he would have made everything perfect in the material world, is not understanding the perfection. Om Purnama, Da Purnami, Dam Purna, Purnami. It's complete. Complete means there has to be a place for everyone. Most people who take birth as human beings in Kali Yuga barely deserve to be human beings. Just barely. Those who really deserve to be human beings get to take birth in other yugas or in other planets. Does that make sense to you? There has to be a place for everyone. There has to be facility for everyone. You know, the poor people have to buy clothes too. Yes? If you only make clothes that only rich people can get, then what is the point of that? So God is complete. And there is a place with no imperfections. That exists. That exists. And we can live in that place, even here, if we change our consciousness. Prabhupada says, if we change our consciousness, there's no material world. There's no defects. One sees everything as perfect. So, but that's up to me. That's not God's fault. If I have a defective consciousness and I have bad karma, that's not God's fault. Part of the reason they say this is they think this is our only life. And they think this is the only world. They think the earth planet, that's it. The Kali Yuga earth planet, that's the only experience there is in the material world. And this life is our only life. That's really their problem. Okay, it is getting late. We could take one more if anyone has something urgent that they want to bring up. And then we... Yes, Prabhu.
Sorry, more of a comment than a question.
Yes.
As Maharaj said, I also find class was perfectly complete.
Hare Krishna.
I felt that you took something which...
If you're going to praise me, I'm not really very interested. If you have something to add to the class, then that's it.
What I felt came out was a reminder of the need to develop a mood of simplicity in our devotion.
Mm.
I felt that came out very clearly and it was very refreshing to me and very refreshing to be reminded of.
Mm.
Sometimes in my own study of Shastra, you know, execution of my service, I sometimes get flustered by the complexity of it and need to understand. And sometimes I always forget the need of, you know, what really matters is the sort of affection that we should have for Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Even when we go into the philosophy, it should be with the purpose of developing affection. When we go into the detailed philosophical points, he has a name, a nomen name, he has a form. You know, it's not a question of just making some huge intellectual analytical study. I'll just end with this. One of the most advanced devotees I know in the Hare Krishna movement once said to me, why did Mahaprabhu describe to Sanatana Goswami all of the different incarnations? And why does he describe all the Narayana forms and which weapon they have and which arms? Did you ever wonder that? I've wondered that like since the beginning of my contact with the Hare Krishna movement when I got teachings of Lord Chaitanya and I read that chapter and like, why is this even here? And this devotee said, do you know why he did that? Because he's talking about the arms of Krishna. He's meditating on the arms and the form of the Lord that he loves. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Trinidad and Tobago Vaishnavas ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.